Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by SGC Security Services. Excellence as standard.
Hello, everybody. So, a slightly different opening here for this week's matchup episode because you'll have probably noticed, those listening in, that we have a new sponsor in SGC Security Services who have very kindly parted with their money to support the podcast. All joking aside, this came from nowhere. I wasn't expecting it. There was no lead up to it. The offer came in and I was, to be honest, super blown away by it. The sponsorship itself is essentially going to secure the podcast for the next 12 months. So if you're listening to this podcast, I hope it's because you like it. And you haven't just done a collective groan at the thought of having to listen to me for another year. But yeah, big shout out, big thanks to SGC Security Services. I'm going to be posting the links in the Facebook group for people that want to go and check them out on what they do. I know that we do have listeners. Now we have listeners from across the UK and Europe who, you know, some of you run your own companies, some of you are part of others who might be interested in their services. So please do go check them out. Also, you might just be a bit nosy and want to go and have a little click around. In which case, by all means, please do. But yeah, once again, thank you to SGC Security Services for sponsoring the podcast. Extra special thank you this week, which is why I'm doing this whole lead-in. I'm going to head off now and get straight into the recording with Matt. I've actually just got off the call with Matt about 5 minutes ago, so this is still kind of live as such. But yeah, let's jump to Matt, and I'll speak to you afterwards.
Brought to you by www.mitmaster.com.
Good evening. How are we doing?
Very good, thank you, matey. How are you?
Matey?
Yeah,
matey. We're getting a bit informal now, aren't we?
Yeah, a bit relaxed, a bit casual.
It's only taken how many episodes? No, I'm good, thank you. It's the Easter holidays here. I don't know if it is where you guys are right now, because I know we seemingly as a country can never decide on when to have holidays, but... Yeah, we're kids at home. Easter holidays have started for us.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've still got a couple more days for mine. Thank the baby Jesus.
You literally. Well, this is the one where he dies, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not go. Yeah, let's stay away from that one. Anyway, it's a zombie bit now. So what have you been up to?
I've just returned from a 2-day workshop in Germany. My first kind of business workshop in Europe, which was very fun, very good. Yes, enjoyed it.
Were you embarrassed by how good their English is?
Their English is very good. Yeah,
we're
terrible, aren't we?
We are. We're lazy.
We can barely speak English, and all these other countries can speak two or three languages, and you're like, oh.
That was the real reason for Brexit. That was the real... It's just so we didn't have to try and learn any more languages. Everywhere I've ever been with workshops and training and stuff like that, I've been to Norway and places, and their English is just impeccable.
Yeah.
And we just can't do anything. We can count to French and say... I can count to 10 and say I have a brown dog.
I can order a ham sandwich. But,
I mean, I don't have a brown dog. But I did when I was 12 or whatever it was when I was learning French.
Learning it, yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah,
how did that work out then? Was it good?
It was very, very good. And we need to have a chat about a few differences I've noticed with German martial arts schools versus English martial arts schools. But first, I feel we need to do something.
It's a more pressing matter.
Far more important.
Absolutely. I was following your running commentary on social media with bated breath. The entertainment that was Roadhouse.
Well, was it entertaining?
It took me 4 goes to watch it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, not great then.
The problem with it is, for me, was it was sort of billed as this all-out action adventure film with Conor McGregor and these people and fighting, and then they just didn't really do very much.
And I spent an hour watching it going, well, when are they going to start fighting each other? That, I mean, they've not done anything yet. Well, Conor McGregor's got his ass out. I mean, that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're actually right. Like, I remember my drunken social media rants, and I think
it was quite amusing.
40 minutes in, and nothing had really happened. And I was like, what? I know you got to build the story a bit, but they did a bad job of that because you didn't really care about any of the characters in it. No.
Like, I like how they had to have the token child in the bookshop as well. I'm like, what's that all about? Right. Like,
yeah, I know. They're ticking boxes, aren't they, really? But it was. Yeah, it was a pretty bad film. Now, there's a lot of people on the net saying that the original Roadhouse is also a crap film.
Well, yeah, but it was allowed to be because of when it was made.
That was exactly what I was going to say. But I would say it wasn't even a crap film. It was an all right action film back in the 80s, right? You know, of that time when, you know, Seagal was strutting about and Van Damme was doing his thing. And, you know, it was all right.
It had charm.
Yes. But the new one, I mean, I liked Conor McGregor in it.
Yeah, it was good. He was actually probably for me the best part. I mean, it was reminiscent of the. Do you remember in the 1990s we went through a period where WWF wrestlers were all trying to be actors?
Yeah,
it reminded me of that. He was literally. It was like every Hulk Hogan film was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
it was himself. It was just him, just saying slightly different versions of his phrases in the same voice.
Yes, I mean. You could say the same about Schwarzenegger, really, couldn't you?
Like, yeah.
He hasn't really. He's tried a few different types of roles, but he's best at what he's best at. Now, this is McGregor's first one, right?
It was actually all right. I thought it was
good. I know people are saying it ruined it for him, but what did they expect from Conor McGregor in terms of acting?
He did a good job. I mean, the thing that I mean, I'm always going to be. A little bit more critical, I suppose, than many. But the, and I'm really sorry if I don't even know. I couldn't even be bothered to look up who did it, and it might be somebody I know. So I'm sorry ahead of time. But the action, the fight choreography, the action design was just weird. It was like right from the get go with that opening sort of UFC type scene, if that was what it was meant to be, where they just randomly shoved some CGI in it. It's like, you didn't even like the choreographer didn't even call for it. It's almost like, well, we can, so we will.
But everyone noticed that it was like CGI, which totally defeats the point of it being CGI, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even needed. The thing that they were doing was quite, you could have just done that with a person.
Yes,
and the whole the build up to the sorry for spoilers if anybody's
spoiler alert drop out now.
Mind you, I suppose is it a spoiler because there's a fight at the end of the film. I mean,
true.
I mean, it was like that end fight scene was for me anyway was ruined with they were trying to be clever with the camera movements and stuff, and it's like could we just watch them fight, please, instead of every time someone throws a punch like there's a 360-degree camera swoop.
Well, and they think that with actors like, who can't. Fight, right?
They were trying to sell it off as being
Jason Bourne or something.
These two UFC fighters having a fight in a bar at the end.
Yeah.
But every time they moved, it was like, we've got to do 65 camera
cuts. Sweeps.
Like, just let us see them fighting. Do you know?
Yeah.
There was no need for it. It was just, it was too over the top.
Yeah, I also like didn't. None of the characters really worked for me. Like the bad guy didn't seem that bad.
No, he was just a twat.
Yeah, he was basically just a twat. He wasn't like the old bad guy
annoying.
In the film, who you could tell was a bad dude. And all the biker gang just didn't look like a bank biker gang. They looked like
12-year-olds.
So. From the beginning, literally, the only bit I enjoyed was McGregor. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal, or Gyllenhaal, however you say his name, looked half asleep during the movie.
He looked stoned the entire time.
Now, I guess he's trying to, that's because he's trying to keep his anger under control, is the story of it, right? Because bad things happen when he loses his rag.
Like but the Hulk.
But he just didn't have much charisma on screen or...
It just looked completely uninterested and
just
smiled the whole way through it. Like
pretty much. And so I think they could have done a much better job. And where was Wade Garrett? Like the in the first film, the one of the best characters, without a doubt. Like he was the best when he was on screen. Like he was like the thing that you looked at, and you know, where was that character?
I have no idea. If they'd have called it something else, it would probably have been all right.
Yes, if you called it Bouncer or something, right?
Yeah, The Bouncer.
And I would have watched it, and I'd love McGregor being in it. I would have been like, that's... But it, literally, like, it didn't relate to the first story at all, did it? So what's the point in calling it Roadhouse?
Yeah, that's why I put that post up in the morning, happy moan about Roadhouse Day. Because I knew everyone was going to be shitting on it. Like, I just knew it. But the remaking, somebody was saying they're doing a remake of Die Hard as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's like, why? It'd be a big trouble in Little China next.
Why have they run out of ideas?
Goonies. remake Goonies.
Why have they run out of ideas? Like, why can't they just make new ideas for films?
I think people are just trying to cash in on all of us oldies, like
nostalgia.
Wanting to, we want the whole, you know, 1980s back again. And they're probably seeing films like Top Gun 2 and thinking, that's like 60 billion or whatever it did, ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, but that was an actually all right action film.
It was a really good film, and it was made by someone who knew what it was doing. And and they weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. They were just carrying on with the
story. Yeah.
Yeah, they were just doing it. And then so much so they're making another one. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. You know, put Tom Cruise in a plane. Happy days. You're making some money.
Yeah.
But this constant. I mean, they should just know by now. I mean, look, you remake Ghostbusters. Rubbish. So what do you do? You get the original Ghostbusters back in. Boom, you've got money.
Has there been any remake that has actually been as good as the original or even better?
I'm just trying to think now of film remakes. There's people probably screaming at the...
Been sequels, like Terminator 2 was better than Terminator 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know any remakes that.
I mean, the Star Trek franchise, the first of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films was quite fun.
Yeah.
It's not a film, but I quite enjoyed the remake of Battlestar Galactica, the TV series. That's going back a long time, though, now. That's going back about 20 years. Ooh. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. But. Films, remakes of classic films that were good. I'm struggling.
Yeah, exactly. So nothing pops to.
Yeah, they just keep doing it.
Yeah. And I wonder if it makes them any money or it must.
Oh, yeah, I think it will. I mean, whether this will make enough money to cover McGregor's. I mean, it's an Amazon film, isn't it? So.
Yeah, straight to streaming.
They've already remade the money anyway. They've already made the money back anyway, haven't they? But it did actually, for me, it screamed of like DVD movie. Like, you know, you go down Blockbusters and just go, oh, what's this? They've remade Roadhouse. I didn't know that was happening. Oh, watch that. It kind of felt like that. Like,
well, I'm definitely glad I did not go to the cinema and pay like 15 quid for a ticket.
Been pissed at that. That was, yeah.
So it's the right call. Obviously, they knew this ain't great. We're going to send it.
Well, do you know what? There's so many films now being made just specifically for home cinema because it just makes more sense. And some stuff's all right, you know. It's big money.
Okay.
I mean, I'm dipping my toe in the whole sort of performance film stunt sort of thing as well. And the amount of studios and stuff that's been built over here now, specifically with Netflix, Disney, Amazon Prime, all this in mind.
Yeah.
They are churning out film after film after film.
Yeah.
Must be big money.
Yeah, yeah. For the big like studios, though, there must be shit in a brick.
Cinemas are, I think they're on the way out, truth be told. I think it's just too expensive.
You know,
if you can have a 100-inch telly in your living room with a 17.1 sound system and Or even better now, I mean, I don't know if you've tried it, but have you tried watching a film on like an Oculus or a VR headset?
No, is it good?
It's actually really good because I don't understand the technology enough to know how it works, but it actually creates a cinema screen in front of you that looks and feels like you sat in a cinema screen.
Right.
So like when you turn in your head, like you can't see all of the screen in your vision, like when you're
sat in front of a massive screen.
It actually feels like you're watching it. Yeah.
It's cool.
Weird as hell, but it works.
I'm going to try it. My son's got one of those. I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, you can put it in cinema mode and you can just like go on. You can like, you could go and watch yourself on YouTube on a cinema screen.
I'm going to go and watch the original Roadhouse if I can.
yeah, you can. You can load Netflix and Amazon and stuff in it. Yeah, you can.
Ah, wicked.
And I tried it and it just gives you a little bit of a motion sickness feeling if you're not used to it. But it's actually really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, your diehards are always going to say, oh, no, cinema will never, you can't ever beat the cinema experience, blah, blah, blah. But I think it'll get to a point where you probably can. And it will. You know, and just the ease of just being able to go in your house and just sit down and go, all right, I'm watching this now.
Yeah. And cinema's expensive and full of nutters.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
It's just too expensive. If you're already paying however much you are a month for your Amazon, Netflix and Disney, why are you going to go and pay, £20 or whatever? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It's a very old model. They would be wise, in my opinion, to actually reduce the fees and start trying to get bums on seats. And you know, I don't know whether they're being greedy or whether they have to charge what they charge, but
They're probably struggling, so they're probably having to charge that. Yeah.
Anyway, segue onto charging what we charge.
Oh, that's good.
I'm a pro. Back of the net. Jurassic Park. We were discussing this, weren't we, briefly before we started recording, and I think that's a good segue. People will be impressed when they hear why. German trip.
Yeah, so I was in Germany speaking to a load of school owners in Germany, and we're kind of chatting about what they were charging, and I was shocked at how much these instructors in Germany were charging for the classes in comparison to UK prices. So most of them were kind of around about 200 euros a month.
What the hell?
So that's like £200 a month. Yeah. So I was like, say what? Like that's, and they were like, yeah, that's what we charge. I was like, and you know, they've got 200 odd students at £200 a month.
Christ. So I mean, hang on a minute. So I know, because obviously I don't know much about the German economy and the state of how things are over there. I mean, are they getting taxed to the tits or something? In other respects, is it balancing out somewhere else? Is their petrol like 50p or something? Or
I don't think so. I think
bloody hell.
I think they're just charging more for their martial arts. And obviously in the US, they're charging more. They're typically $200, $250 per month.
Right. So are we just a bit screwed then? Are we sort of stuck in the hole of we've been undercharging, arguably, I suppose. Or some might say we haven't been, but have we been charging what we've been charging for too long to the point where we're now stuck in this model? Or if all of us one day woke up and went, right, everybody agree to charge 35% more from tomorrow. Ready, steady, go.
Yes, that would be the way to do it.
Which is kind of what insurance companies do, isn't it?
Yeah. We need to get together and just like on this day, like we're all going to suddenly, a price is going to go up 30%. And that'll be it. And that'll solve, you know, a lot of problems because then we're not undercutting each other. Hmm. But I think what I realized is there's like a difference in different countries to how martial arts is valued and what people are willing to pay for it, maybe.
Yeah.
And also what instructors are willing to charge for it. Maybe that they value what they're creating more than we do in the UK, maybe.
Wow.
But it was I was like, come again, how much? Like 200 odd euros. Wow.
I mean, how And how do we, how would we even go about trying to match that? And I mean, you couldn't go from like, hey, it's £50 a month, but from next month it's 200.
No, I mean, the issue always is with changing your prices, that there's times that you can easily change your prices, such as if you move from one area to another area, if you open a larger school, if you get a full-time school from a moving from like a hall or something, then kind of all bets are off and you can change your prices. And people are like, yeah, fair enough. Something's changed. So prices have changed. But it's really difficult to kind of change your prices with your current members without giving them a reason why and without possibly delivering more value.
Absolutely.
Although, to be fair, like, instructors often catastrophize what will happen. So they'll think, oh, I'm going to put up my prices by £5 a month and, you know, half my students are going to quit and I'm going to go out of business. And then they put their prices up by £5 a month and two people moan, but no one quits. So there is that as well. Like, we tend to anticipate that it's going to cause all sorts of problems, but quite often it doesn't. Especially, I think, if you do a good job of communicating why prices are increasing.
Yeah, I had a student not long ago, actually, so turn around in the end of a class and went, he said something to the lines of, oh, I'd happily pay £15-20 a month more than I am now. I'm like, okay.
But he says it, but then when you say, okay, John, so next month yours is, suddenly he's like, okay.
Yeah. But it makes it's difficult to know, isn't it? You know,
so what most instructors do, isn't it, is they increase the prices for new members.
Yep.
And as we know, with the whole problem of attrition in martial arts schools, you know, over a period of 2 to 3 years, you're probably replacing most of the people in your school.
Mm-hmm.
So they all the new people sign on at a higher rate. That feels most comfortable for UK martial artists to do, like to just charge more for new members. And as older members leave naturally, then they get replaced by newer members on a higher price. But I do feel like we probably undercharge in the UK. For example, I've got an instructor friend of mine. He has a school, the minimum that you can pay at his school is £100 a month. And most people are on more than that. And some people are on close to £200 a month.
Right.
Mm. And he's quite fine asking for it. And, you know, he's not wanting a school of 400 members. He's really happy with his 100 members, but they're all paying a premium to learn from him, you know.
If I could start off all over again, I would definitely do it that way around.
Yeah, if I was going to start again and, you know, reopen a school, I'd have 100 adult members at a minimum of like £120 a month, with different levels above that. And that's where I would start at that point.
Yeah.
But I think what it is, you know, there's lots of things influencing this. What you used to pay influences what you think is a fair price, what your instructor kind of says is a fair price influences. You look at competition in your town and people are charging £2 per class and you think, I shouldn't really charge much more than that. So you kind of go with that. So there's all these other influences that stop you charging maybe more of what you're worth. Now that I've sold my school, if I decided, right, I'm going to start again, I would, you know, adults only, 100 members, £120 a month minimum, and that would be it.
Yeah, and as well, there's another thing that was only really popped to mind the day when I was, you know, talking to my wife in her role, without obviously won't go into too much details to what she does or what she's doing, but you know, she's progressing up through the ranks, shall we say, and with that comes a pay increase. And it got me to thinking, like, I was like, I've been doing this now full time for over 2 decades. And what happens with us in that respect? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not charging more now. Do I feel I'm, you know, more skilled and better equipped to teach better classes now than I was 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I think so. I'd say so.
Yeah.
I've had more experience. I've done, you know, I've traveled more. I've done more. I've learned more. I've experienced more. So do I feel I give more value, yes. Am I charging more? No, not relatively speaking. No, it's not, you know. And I do think, you know, why do we not do that?
Yeah, and also why not just automate it so that, you know, when a member joins, you explain to them during the sign-up process that automatically their fees are going to increase by 5% per year.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, to cover the cost of increasing, rising in prices and expenses.
That's a really good idea. Like you do when you get your mobile phone.
Yeah, why not just automate it so that, you know, after 12 months, it goes up 5% or 7% or 10% or whatever you want. And you just, everyone who joins knows that, and that's how it works in your school. So that would be something else I would do.
I suppose as well, that could actually be rolled out across your whole membership if you did it tactfully.
Yeah.
You know, if you put a, you know, if you even like, I mean, now from 2025, from January 2025, monthly memberships will rise in line with,
yep.
And you could pick what you want to pick. Yep. And somebody will look at that and go, well, 5%? That's not a big deal. It's not worth kicking off about. It's not till next, Jimmy might not even be doing it next January anyway. So,
yeah. So it's something to think about. But pricing is a weird one. I do think most instructors I speak to are underappreciated, undervalued, and underpaid.
Definitely.
For the work that they're doing and the difference that they're making in people's lives. But, you know, you say that to them and they go, yeah, but I don't want to lose any students and I don't want to charge too much because matey boy down the road is only charging this. And, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm money grabbing or being greedy. So I'll just keep it the same. But often the same people who say that to me are really struggling financially.
Yeah. I mean, let's say you upped your price is £5 a month, or I don't know, dare say £10 a month, and you've got 200 students and you lose 10 of them as a result. Well, it's going to, you know,
you're still going to be ahead.
You're going to be better off anyway because of the increase across the board. So it's,
the other side of the equation, which I know some people are screaming at it, is there are instructors out there who are really just interested in the money purely, and, you know, just not delivering the best product and don't really care about their students.
Of course.
And unfortunately those tend to be the ones that are charging the most. Yeah. So and I think there's a lot of judgment. Like, martial artists seem very scared of other martial artists judging them, so if they feel like maybe they're charging the most in their area, they might feel that the other instructors are looking down at them or talking behind their back, and that actually stops some people from taking the action that would help their business.
But they're not going to pay the mortgage, are they? Or
no, why would you worry about what someone else thinks who's not, you know, in your shoes? And so it's a really emotive, difficult subject. And I often have conversations with instructors, and I work on them. I work my coaching clients, and I'm like, I think maybe you should increase your prices, because that's the fastest way to, you know, increase your revenue in your school, is just to increase your prices. There's no other way that's faster.
And it's weird as well. And you think about it, you know, I think with this, a lot of it is, it's the individual, isn't it? It's the hang-ups of the instructor, yes, or the school owner, that's holding them back from increasing the fees to what they maybe need to or want to.
Exactly.
Yet we then stand in front of a group of kids and go, self-confidence is important in life, and you must be confident to do what you need to do. And then you're like, except I'm terrified to charge your parents more in case you leave.
And then I have this conversation with them, and we work on it, and we work on it, and I break them down. And, you know, after 9 months, they go, all right, I'll put it up £5 a month, but no more. So then they put it up, nothing happens. And they're like, oh, Matt, I should have done that 6 months ago. And I'm like, yeah. Exactly. It's really interesting. But I was very surprised by, the prices that the German instructors were charging. Now, maybe because these German instructors were coming to a business conference, they were more like the cream of the crop of the German market. Maybe there's lots of German martial arts schools that charge a lot less, but definitely these schools of like 100, 200 members were charging more than most, if not all, of the schools in the UK. I don't know many schools in the UK that are like £200 a month.
I mean,
there's some in London that I know are, yeah, that are close to that.
That's relative to the cost, isn't it? I mean, their outgoings are higher.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still got to charge it though. We've got some German listeners. I know we do from my little stats box that I have that comes up. So our European listeners are overtaking our American listeners now. So get in touch and tell me, you know, what little experiment. What are you charging?
Mm.
If you're outside of the UK, let me know in whatever form of currency you use, what you're charging monthly.
And I think with pricing, if you can, you know, be brave and go for it, you can do tests with pricing. So let's say you're currently on £60 a month for your unlimited training package. Starting April 1st, any inquiries that you get, you can say we are £80 a month for our unlimited training package and just see if it has any effect on sign-up rate.
Yeah.
And what you kind of find out is it doesn't. And you're like, oh, okay, right. So that's our new price. Now, if it does, you know, if like no one is signing. So on average, let's say you get 40 leads and you're signing, you know, 20 people up at £60 a month. And then you try it the next month and it's £80 a month and, you know, that drops significantly. You're like, okay, then yeah, we've over pushed it. Let's next month try £70 a month and see if that is the sweet spot. Yeah. And really quickly, within 2 or 3 months, you could find the upper levels of the prices you can charge in your area for martial arts and still get a good number of people signing up, and you'll be significantly better off for doing it. But most people won't do that test because it's too scary. They don't like saying the prices. Often, like instructors, when they say the price of their classes, they kind of wince and close their eyes. And
we charge, I like that one, the best one is when you go, what do you charge? Oh, we charge about £45 a month.
Yeah, so that's negotiable, is it?
What do you mean about? What did you charge? You know, or on average. Between our lowest and our, we charge 45. So, come on, what do you charge? What are you, most of your members coming in at? 30 for a month. Oh, right. Okay. Why are you embarrassed by it?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? So it was good speaking to them. Hopefully going back next year to do another sort of conference sort of thing. So hopefully I'll speak to them about it and see where they're at. But it just made me aware that there's a big difference between maybe what different areas or different countries are charging.
Well, there we go. There's something new. Before we finish up, I'd like to chat a little bit about what you've got going on Friday, if that's all right.
What have I got going on Friday?
Isn't it this Friday that you've got your Facebook thingy maneuver? Are you doing?
No. That's April 12th.
I didn't think it was this Friday.
I don't know. I'm like, shit, what am I going on Friday? I don't know.
I'll tell you what you are doing. You're disappearing. You're turning into the Matrix. You're going all blah, 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 blah on me.
Am I?
Yeah, you are. You're disappearing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're going all Neo Matrixy on me.
Hold on. I'm going to do something.
You're going to kick your internet in the nuts.
It probably means the kids are using the internet. So
they're on there. The Call of Duty inging in or whatever it is kids do these days.
Yeah, I'm going to switch it to off of my phone and see if that improves.
Oh, yeah, you're back on now. You're on. Oh, have we lost him completely?
Is that better?
Oh, no, you're still matrixing in. Oh, there you go. You're back now. Oh, no, you're not. You're gone again.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, you're back now.
Okay, all right. Well,
let's call it a day. Yeah. Anyway, good luck with the thing that you're not doing on Friday, and go kick your internet in the balls, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, mate. Speak soon.
Catch you soon.
Brought to you by SGC Security Services. Excellence as standard.
So, yeah, a bit of a wonky ending to that one there, but, you know, these things happen. Technology. The internet decided to crap out on us, But anyway, the bulk of it was okay. Just that last little bit. But also, I just wanted to finish up by saying again a big thank you to SGC Security Services. I also want to thank Mitmaster.com, Art Marshall, and Marshallytics as well for their continued support. I also want to do a big shout out as well to our lovely Patreons. So we have these are the people that are on our tier two package in there. They get an extra special thank every single episode. So we have Simon Wales, we have Claire King, we have Phil S, we have Paul MacArthur, we have Daniel David Thomas, we have Mark Davies, and we have our old faithful Baz himself. These guys, they're paying me their money each month to be part of our Patreon group, which is super cool. Really nice of them. If you are interested in getting involved with our Patreon too, I'm just stalling here because I'm trying to remember what the URL is. Because I'm terrible with stuff like this. Let me see if I can get it up on my screen now. It's a new thing that I've only just started doing. I should really have it written down. Right, so you can head over to patreon.com/kickbackwithchris, which, to be fair, I should really have known that because it's quite obvious, isn't it? But yeah, patreon.com/kickbackwithchris. No, patreon.com/kickbackwithchris. Can't forget the slash. And there you have two options. You can support us from as little as £1 a month, which is nuts. I mean, I don't know what else you can get for £1 a month. Certainly not martial arts classes, as we've just heard from Matt Chapman. But yeah, £1 a month, or for £2 a month, you also get the little shout-out that I just mentioned there. And, you know, it's a tiny amount from you guys, but with collectively enough people on board, it definitely goes towards helping with the different show costs and stuff as we continue to expand the podcast. Also, a little bit more extra housekeeping. We have a special guest chat episode coming up with Mr. Steve Rowe later this week. The Patreon listeners, you guys will be able to get that on Thursday of this week. Everybody else, you have to wait till Friday. Yeah, so another reason to get on the Patreon. If you know, for £1 a month, you get all the episodes that little bit earlier, so you get a little bit of inside scoop. You also actually get stuff that's exclusive to the Patreon group, so, you know, extra content with myself, extra content with some of the guests that come on as well. So, yeah, if you're interested, from as little as £1 a month, you know, it helps the podcast, and it gets you some extra cool stuff too. As well as, hopefully, you all, those of you that checked in, enjoyed the episode that I did with Martin Wan last Friday. We had our very first fight scene Friday. A little bit of a sort of self-indulgent extra to the podcast lineup, where I get to just geek out and talk about fight scenes, something that I really like. As you could probably tell from the beginning of this episode today, when we were talking about Roadhouse, as much as I didn't really like those fights, but anyway. Last week we talked about there's a gang sort of like warehouse fight scene in a film called Rumble in the Ronks from 1995, a Jackie Chan film. The film that really got me back into my martial arts training and actually interested in martial arts film and screen and stunt fighting itself. And talking with my friend Martin Wan, who was on the show recently, fellow stunt performer, screen fighter himself. So yeah, we have a good old geek out to Jackie Chan film. We're going to be back on again next Friday, so we're giving it a miss. It's every other week to start with, just while we find our feet. I'm not going to tell you which episode. I'm going to give you a little hint. It's a Jet Li film. There you go, little hint. And we're going to be doing, in fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let the reveal be known in the Patreon group, if you want to know which film it is, which fight scene it is. I'm going to tell everybody in the Patreon group, so you can check that out there. But yeah, patreon.com/kickbackwithchris if you want to get involved with that. Check out all our cool sponsors. And remember, if you're going to make your Art Marshall purchases, please do it using the link. Also, that goes for the mitmaster.com link on the, if you go to www.kickbackpodcast.com, the banners at the top there, if you use those to purchase your Art Marshall and your Mitmaster products, we get a small percentage back, which obviously helps with the show costs and stuff. I'm losing my voice, so I'm going to stop talking now. But yeah, thank you all. Thank you for the sponsors. Thank you to the universe. Thank you, everybody. It's like an Oscar speech. But yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Continue support, and we'll speak again very soon. Cheers, guys. Oh, and enjoy your Easter eggs, those of you that do Easter. See you later.
Brought to you by Marshallytics. Easy to use, super powerful management software for your martial arts school.
Support our podcast by making your Art Marshall orders via the link in our show notes. Art Marshall.
Art Marshall.
Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.